I think it's been a long time since this church has been this full. It's a little intimidating. But what a glorious day this is. You know, I'm sure you've seen around the time of the Olympics, these athletes will say or have said about the athletes that they spend so many hundreds or thousands of hours of training for that one heat, that one meet, maybe 15, 20 seconds or a couple of minutes of their life. They spent all those years preparing for that one moment. We spent these last 40 days in preparation for this moment. The moment that begins with this Mass and will end Saturday night. This one long liturgical event. And you'll notice at the end of this Mass, there will be no dismissal. There's no final blessing. When you come tomorrow for the reading of the Passion, there's no introduction and there's no dismissal. And on Saturday night, when you come for the vigil at 8:30, there's no introduction, but there will be a blessing and a dismissal. And we're entering into this one long event, the Paschal mystery, the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the event that changed the world. And if we have prepared well, it will be the event that changes your life. And we begin this night with the Mass of the Lord's Supper, where we are celebrating three mysteries that Mother Church asks the preacher to expound upon, the three mysteries that are brought forth on this night. The command, as we heard in the gospel, for mutual charity. To love as God has loved. To do to one another what he has done for us. You know, we've experienced, we know the Ten Commandments. How difficult that is always to live up to those. The great commandments of the gospel, to love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. How difficult that is, but now even more so, love as God loves. And this is what we're celebrating in this liturgical event, as the love of God is on full display. He showed as an example the washing of the feet as he took off his outer garments, tied on the towel, and washed the feet of his apostles. Which, from the Old Testament, tells us that this is the beginning of the ordination ritual. That the priests in the Old Testament had to be washed, had to be cleansed before they were able to approach the mysteries and to offer the sacrifice. So Jesus is setting the stage for this. That's the first of the great mysteries we contemplate. This mutual love, this charity, where the God of all creation will stoop down to wash feet. But that's not the first time he stooped down. When God left heaven to become a man, he stripped himself of his divinity and he tied on humanity. Definitely a greater act of humility than simply washing feet. And so there's something more pointed to when we encounter the washing of the feet. It's not simply just a nice act to show how humble Jesus is. He already showed us that by becoming man, born in the manger. The same God who dipped down into the dirt to form man, he dips down into our life, showing just how close God desires to be with us. This is the God whom we serve. This is the God who we love, the one who desires to be near us. In a human emotional sense, we can say it breaks his heart that there's separation. That from the very beginning of the pages of the gospel or of Genesis, We have this exposition of the heart of the Father desiring to be reunited with his children. The communion that was lost in the garden with the original sin. And he dips down once again by becoming man to help us to be reunited, because he desires to be so close to us. Which leads us to the other two great mysteries that are brought to us today to ponder, to celebrate. The great mysteries. And when we speak of mystery, we're not talking about, you know, Sherlock Holmes or Scooby-Doo. We're not talking about the answer that you give to your kids when they ask a question you don't know the answer to. Oh, it's just a mystery. The mysteries of the faith are those things that, until you are experiencing them, they seem almost impossible. Almost impossible to understand, to even imagine. And then once they are revealed and once they are explained, even then, there's more to it than we can comprehend. This revelation of God is a mystery. And somehow, for some reason, he wants to be close to us. And how does he do that? When he was ascending to the Father at the end of Matthew's gospel, he says, "Behold, I'm with you until the end of the time." He does that. He remains with us in the Holy Eucharist. And this is what the Lord's Supper, that Last Supper, was all about. The one that was prefigured in the Passover meal that we heard about in the first reading. The means through which the enslaved Israelites were set free. After 420-something years of slavery, because of this Passover event, because the lamb had been sacrificed and the blood had been spread on the doorpost, they were saved by the blood of the lamb and by the eating of the meal. It was required to sacrifice the lamb. It was required to eat the meat of the sacrifice in order to be saved. And he was given the instructions, as we heard, that this was going to be a perpetual offering, and that you were going to eat it in the same way they ate it that first night, as men and women on a pilgrimage ready to go out, journeying towards that promised land. And that sacrifice would be the energy, the motivation they needed to go. This great sacrament, this great mystery of the Holy Eucharist that Jesus instituted at this Last Supper fulfills that prophecy, fulfills that prefiguring sacrifice. That as they gathered for the Passover that last time, everything was there except for the lamb. Except the lamb was there. The lamb that John the Baptist had pointed out a few chapters earlier in John's gospel when Jesus walked by and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Behold the Lamb of God, John the Baptist said about Jesus. And now at the Last Supper, the Lamb of God is there. And he says, "This is my body. This is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in such a manner. As you do this, you will be brought back into my presence." That the reality of this event will be made present to you again. The same way that the Passover event was made ready and present to the people as they celebrated, this event will be made ready and available and present to you each time you celebrate this meal. This sacrifice, the institution of the Holy Eucharist, that little wafer, that small host, the greatest love story ever told, some have said, the answer to every question, every desire, every doubt of your heart, that little white host contains everything, for it is God. God desires so intensely to be united with his children that he sends himself as what looks like bread so that we could consume him? Is there any way to be closer than to consume? The desire of the Father is that we are united with him. And this becomes a reality as we consume the Holy Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. The apostles had to be washed. They had to be cleansed in order to be ready for this. In the Old Testament, the priests had to be washed, had to be cleansed in order to enter into the Holy of Holies in order to offer the sacrifice. We too must be made clean. We too must be washed to enter into the Holy of Holies, to enter into this sacrifice. And this washing firstly takes place in baptism, where we're cleansed from original sin and set free to be a temple of the living God. We're cleansed again and again through the sacrament of confession. We're cleansed and we are prepared for the Eucharist when we fast before Mass. When we prepare our hearts, we prepare our families to come to Mass. That's part of that washing, that cleansing ritual. That it's not just something that we walk in haphazardly, randomly to, but we prepare ourselves to encounter the living God in the Holy Eucharist. If I don't wash your feet, you will have no inheritance with me, Jesus told Peter. If we don't prepare ourselves, we cannot share in communion with Jesus Christ. This is why the church has the rules, the laws, mandating how we act when we come into church, when we prepare ourselves before we come to church, so that we can experience the communion that Jesus died and rose again to give us. But Jesus died and he rose. So the third great mystery which we celebrate today is the institution of the sacred priesthood. This most amazing gift that God could have ever given to his people. This great gift that we share in, we three priests who are up here this night, sharing in the one priesthood of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus wants to be near us. He wants to be one with us. So he calls men, he cleanses them, prepares them, ordains them to be his very self in the middle of the community. That we live and we act. And so the washing of the feet, this symbolic act of humility, of self-sacrificing service, it sets the tone, it sets the table for our life of what we're called to do, to embody Jesus Christ, who is God, who stripped himself of his divinity and took on humanity to be with us, to serve us, to die for us. We too have done the same. At the day of ordination, we laid down on the floor in front of the bishop as a sign of dying to our old way of life. And then we stood up and we were vested in the clothes of the priest to stand in the person of Jesus Christ so that we can celebrate Holy Mass, so that you can have the Eucharist, so that you can live. Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life within you, Jesus says. You receive that body and blood from the hands of the priest. The hands of the priest that pours the water when you're baptized. The hands of the priest that prays the blessing, the words of absolution and confession. The hands of the priest that hold your hand in the last moments of your life as we pray the prayers of anointing of the sick. The hands of the priest who witness your marriage so that your life can be a model to the world of God's love. Jesus remains present in this community through the hands and the words of the priest, this great and glorious mystery that none of us are worthy of. But it really is the best life. I can't imagine anything better than the priesthood. What St. John Vianney said is the love of the heart of Jesus. Have we been chosen to be the love of God for you? As we lay down our life, we do so much more than simply wash feet, for we die to ourselves every day so that you may live. This great gift, this great mystery, that somehow we get to be Jesus for you. For you. A priest is not a priest for himself. A priest is a priest for the people of God. So pray for your priests. Pray for your bishops. Pray for our Holy Father. That we will continue to be renewed in our commitment to lay down our life time and time again so that you may live. There is no life without Jesus. There is no life without the Holy Eucharist. There is no Eucharist without the Holy Priesthood. This is the great mystery in which we celebrate, and this is the great mystery for which we live.